This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I begin with the greetings of peace, the greetings mentioned by the prophets, the patriarchs and the messengers from the beginning of time. To our present, I speak them to you in Arabic initially, Assalamu alaikum, but for our guests who may not be familiar with Arabic, peace be upon you. Now, those eternal greetings are actually very significant, and they carry the spirit of the Islam Awareness Week that we are here to share with each other. And I've been allocated a very interesting topic, Moses, because he's an individual, alayhi salam, peace and blessings be upon him, and all of the other prophets and messengers that preceded him, and those who have come after him, cumulating and ending, according to Muslims, with the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. My discussion with you today is going to range from murder. We're going to talk about murder. We're going to talk about things that are inanimate, unmoving, that logically should not shift or possess certain features. By divine will, power, by the authority of God, they change. Rocks produce water. Bodies of water split. People are saved and salvaged. We're going to also talk about fate, predestiny, qada. We're going to speak about marriage. I know I'm talking about Moses, right? I won't be as far-reaching as our previous speaker in the tangents that we will address. But we will take a very detailed look at the life of this great prophet of Allah, who is actually makes up the most of the qasas, or the authoritative stories that are found of biblical individuals or prophetic individuals in the Quran. No other prophet, no other messenger is spoken in more detail of by Allah in the Quran than the prophet Musa or Moses. So we are going to look at it from a historical perspective that's narrated in a chronology from the Quran. But we wish to also extract some important lessons and benefits for you and I as people of faith, people of moral values. And the message that I deliver you today is an intrinsic message. It's a message that's common and shared by all people. So it's a universal message. And that's my aim with you today, inshallah. Fate. Imagine at a point in time, a governor, a ruler, makes a decree and says that from this day forth, every male child from a particular racial ethnicity or from a particular cultural background, any male child is to be taken and executed within 3 days of his birth. That was the decree of Pharaoh, Fir'aun, as is mentioned in the Quran. He ordered that after having seen a dream that was interpreted for him by his priests, that there's going to be someone who will emerge, who will usurp and take his power, remove him from his authority. And then that person would be a male child from the Israelites. So he decided with his wisdom that any male child, their life was to be extinguished. Take the child from his mom, kill him. And Allah mentions to us in Surah Al-Qasas, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَافِئِينَ. Pharaoh, his advisors, Haman, his army, all who supported him were in enormous error. They were in plain error. And yet you find that that which would bring an end to that dictatorship, to that established kufr, that established ungratefulness, disbelief in God, that tyrannical process, that which would bring its demise was the birth of a child. And Allah tells you in the Quran, after the birth of Musa, and it's actually one of the most majestic verses, one of the great poets of Arabic language of Islam, Labib, he says, while he was walking one day, he heard a young girl reciting poetry. And Arabic is a really poetic language. It's got rhythm, it's got rhyme, it It's got stanzas, and it goes up and down, and it's symmetrical. Even when you read the Quran, sometimes those of us who aren't attuned with it, we fail to see the beauty of the synchronicity in it. Allah, for example, will tell you in the Quran, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And your Lord, in English we have to translate two words, we have to translate it, your Lord, proclaim Him as the Most High and worthy of worship. But in Arabic, if you can see those letters in your mind, رَبَّكَ, the Ra, the Ba, the Kaf, is the actual symmetrical opposite of كَبِّرْ. Ka-ba-ra. So the rhythm of the language of the Quran isn't just in its wording, isn't just in its flow of up and down. There's more to it. And that's why the Arabic language, the Quran, it's an Arabic tongue. It's an Arabic language. It's a powerful language. It's a static language. It's an unchanging language. As I gave reference to your brothers and sisters in the audience at Warwick University, as an Arabic-speaking person, when I refer to a computer, I say, Hada, computer. This is a computer. You don't invent Arabic words. They're static. There's actually a book, Mu'jam, an enormous encyclopedia, compendium of all the Arabic root words that begin from one end to the other. So Allah says in this verse where He gives two instructions, two warnings, and two glad tidings, or good news. In one sentence, He says, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَدُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Upon the birth of her child, the mother of Moses, knowing soldiers are going to come knocking on her door, she hid her child. She would feed him in the dark. She wouldn't let anyone hear his. She would stifle his cries, as is mentioned to us in the seerah. She wouldn't let anyone know that she had given birth. She lied to people for a period of time, and would have her daughter dress in her clothes and walk in the street so people say, oh, look, she's still walking around. She hasn't given birth yet. Don't go to her home yet. But you can only keep that charade up for so long. So Allah says, فَأَوْحَيْنَا. We gave revelation to the mother of Moses. Wahy. You know that word? It's the same word that Allah uses in discussing or reporting His correspondence to the Prophet ﷺ. We say, Jibreel, what brought wahy to the Prophet ﷺ. I don't want you to get confused. I don't want you to think that it was a divine revelation to her. It was a feeling in her heart. It was intuition. What does that mean? It means for you and I, the closer you come to Allah, He leads your heart. You're at a point in time where you're deciding something in your life. If you're not close to your Lord, if you're not close to Allah, if you're not close to God, your heart isn't leading you in the right way. Allah put in her heart this message for her. Look, feed him, care for your child. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ. But when you come to that point of fear, put him in a basket, throw him in a river. Wow, that's fate. What does that mean? It means that there's a moment in your life now, or in your past, or coming up in your future, where Allah has decided something critical for you that you have no power or influence to avert or to bring about in speed or expedience. Pharaoh thought that he could end the life of Moses, that would end everything. Moses, as a young infant, not knowing anything about angels or the books or the Torah or the Pharaoh, not knowing anything, just being suckled as a young child, innocent baby thrown in the water, put in a basket. Qadar. Fate. There's moments in your life you have no power or control or authority over. And it's important for you, the sooner you are and the younger you are, that you learn this lesson. That there is a mightier authority than you. There is a greater power than you. There is an influence on your life leading you right, left, center, forward, backwards. put him in this water. Inna radduhu ilayk. Don't worry, he's going to come back to you. You might be surprised. You might say, Brother Yahya, really? Allah's really going to put something in my heart, make me feel truth, lead me? But I'm corrupt. Or, am I really worthy? Do you know Allah uses that same word, wahy, to talk about the ants and to talk about the bees? وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا. Allah speaks to bees, animals, insects, and says to them, look, the place for you to build your hives and to build, go into mountains, go into caves, go into trees. That's where you hide and shelter yourself and produce that honey. So you're not too insignificant for Allah to look down upon you and to touch you and to bless you. You're not too insignificant to be alone in this whole world and He hears you. You're not too insignificant, you're not less significant than that little baby who was thrown in that river. And Allah says, تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا. We watched over that child, subhanAllah. Destined, fated, qadr, ordained, that he would bring about the destruction of that evil, despot, unbelieving, denier of truth, Pharaoh. إِنَّ رَدُّهُ إِلَيْكَ. That's an important lesson from the life of Musa. Even greater is the irony. Who rescues Musa? The wife of Pharaoh. Wow. Disney couldn't write like a greater scenario. SubhanAllah. Musa is put in the lion's den. The one who brings him up, who makes him a prince, who gives him power and authority and governance, is the one that he was fearing. That's the one who cared for him, nurtured him, and brought him up. And the mother of Musa was appeased by Allah because her heart, كَإِنْ كَادَتْ تُبْدِي بِهِ. The mother of Musa, when she found out that the person caring for her son was Pharaoh, Allah tells you in the Quran, her heart ripped open. إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ. She got so concerned for her child, she ran over to the palace to say, no, give me back my child, that's my child. You haven't, knowing that if she did so, they would kill him anyway. فَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. So we tied down her heart with faith. See, the actions you perform in your day-to-day life are directly relevant to your heart. I know it's difficult to believe. I'm not talking about that morsel of flesh that's beating, that's pumping the blood in your body. The heart that I'm talking about is that proverbial heart. The heart that you actually see with. The heart that Allah talks about in the Quran. People have eyes, but they don't see. Ears, but they don't hear. They have hearts, but they can't understand the true realities and ramifications of the world and of faith. So Allah tied down her heart, held her in faith, and she remained silent. And to reward her, He caused the wife of Pharaoh, who hadn't given birth, who needs a suckler, a woman to breastfeed this child, to send out servants to seek someone who would feed this boy, but who was going to be of great discretion, who wasn't going to go to other people and say, oh, you know, every night I go to the king's house and I feed this kid, who they found in a river. Because people then would find it bewildering. And Allah brought Musa back into the arms of his own mother. Fate. Qadr. We fast forward, because we don't have time. And I want to be strict with my time, inshallah. Musa grows up. And Allah tells you in the Quran, istawa. Do you know what istawa means? Yeah. Any Arabic speakers here? Put your hand up. Yeah? You know, if you're cooking something, your mom will ask you in Arabic, she'll say, istawa lak, did the food cook? Is it like fully done? Is it half-baked? You know, we use that euphemism, we say, oh, your idea, it's kind of half-baked. It's not really thought out. When Musa istawa, balagha ashuddahu wastawa, when he gained his strength and matured in it and permeated in it, remained on it for a period of time, atainahu hukman wa ilma. At that moment, we blessed him with wisdom and insight. That's a lesson for you and I. The Prophet ﷺ would warn the Sahaba, he would say, لا تأخذوا العلم من الصغار. Don't take your knowledge from the youngsters. What does that mean? It's not just young in age, but it's young in practical experience of life. It's young in enthusiasm. It's young in emotion, young in desire, but immature in experience, immature in practice, immature in skills that have been utilized over a period of time. Moses attains strength and attains a sense of wisdom and knowledge. He's walking in his city. دخل المدينة على حين غفلة من أهلها. He was away on a trip. He comes into the city when no one knew that he's coming. You know, this is the guy that lives in the Pharaoh's castle. This is one of the sons of the Pharaoh. He enters in the city at a time when no one was expecting a royal prince to come. He was in humble, regular clothes. And he saw a man abusing another. So he went in the defense of the one who was losing and who was becoming coming to a point of death. He comes to the weaker of them, فَاسْتَنْصَرَ. He gave victory to him. Pulled them apart. When he pulled the two apart, the stronger of them, who was close to victory, seeks to attack Musa. Musa فَوَكَزَهُ Musa فَقَضَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah tells you in the Quran, Musa struck him with an open hand once. No stick, no stone, no club, no gun, no knife. Musa hit him once, the man died. Wow. Moses, you know, it's like scary. Hit him once, and the man died. فَإِذَا الَّذِي اسْتَنْصَرَهُ يَسْتَصْرِفُ. The one who he helped immediately began to say, hey everyone, come look what Musa did. He killed someone. So Musa ran. Right? It's real life. It's not Disney. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa runs away. And the people in the city, they wake up to this news. So Musa comes to that man who he saved in the next morning and takes hold of him. And that man says, تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ جَبَّارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ مُنَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. Moses, have you come to kill me like you killed that guy? Have you come to end my life like how you harmed that other person the previous day, saving my life? Look at how ungrateful he is. Are you trying to be Jabbar? Are you trying to be the ultimate authority upon the earth? So Musa let him go. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is from the action of the shaytan. Now the word shaytan here in this context, according to the scholars of tafsir, it doesn't mean that Musa recognized the devil, that this is a devilish act. The word shaitan in Arabic means, it comes from the root shat. Shata anil amr. It means you get out of all bounds. You grow out of all extremes. He says to himself, this action I did, it's beyond anything that anyone would accept. It's to such an immoral standard, it's an action of the shaitan. Rabbi Fidli, my Lord, forgive me. Murder. A prophet of Allah, in the beginning moments of his life, in his beginning years of maturity, ends the life of another individual although the intention was to save an innocent soul, he recognized that his action was sinful, in error. So he fled. He put himself in self-exile. And there he gets married.
Wow.
Murder, flee, hook up. You know, it's, look at the murder, leave the city, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Leave the city you're in, hide, get out of there, let's find someone. Now, it wasn't really that simple. He fled the city in repentance to Allah, in self-censure. I was mentioning to the brothers, we were talking a little bit, it was a long ride from London, right? We had a long trip. The brothers forgot their tom-tom. London's a scary place, I tell you. So I say to them, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, because they were talking about some of the issues, right? You know, male, female, all this happens, sometimes that happens. Is this right? How do you sort this out? I told them, the Prophet ﷺ, a man comes into his mosque, into the masjid, as is narrated in the authentic hadith, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, qabbaltu imra'a. O Messenger of Allah, I kissed a woman. Everyone goes, whew. You know, the Sahaba, everyone's like, whoa. Mada asna? How do I fix it? The Prophet ﷺ said, اِذْهَبْ فَتَوَضَّقْ وَأَسْبِغَ الْوُضُوءِ. Go, make wudu, and make sure it's a good wudu. The man went, made a good wudu, came back. He said, صَلِّ رَقَعْتَيْن. The man prayed two raqa. He said, ثُمَّ انْصَرِفْ. Now go. Wow. Now, don't let this on the internet. I know someone's going to start blogging. Brother Yahya said, if you kiss a girl, all you have to do is make wudu and go pray. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. The man came in repentance, right? Could you imagine, could you have that courage? I want you to be serious now. Could you have that courage to come to the Prophet of Allah? Not to a sheikh or your father, your mother, or her brother, or whoever. Could you have that courage to come up to the Prophet of Allah and say to him and confess to him such a heinous act? That takes some moral courage. That person had already repented. That person already knew his enormous error in the sight of Allah. And the Prophet was sent to be a mercy. He wasn't sent to hinder anyone. So the Prophet says to him, look, it's in your heart. You know what you've done wrong. You and I, if we hear someone come and say, you don't get, the first question is, who was it? The Prophet ﷺ doesn't ask. Because it's shameful. You don't shame another member of your community. It's irrelevant. The Prophet ﷺ simply cures him, fixes him. Go pray and that's it. You've repented to Allah, don't return. Musa murders, leaves, repents to Allah. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي. O my Lord, forgive me for what I have done. He goes out into the desert, comes to Midian, to an area which is northern Hijaz, northern Saudi Arabia, southern Philistine. He comes to this area and he's resting near a water well. He sees two women, they come. فَسَقَى لَهُمْ. They had many sheep. He was chivalrous. Instead of letting the two women get the water out of the well, pour it up for the sheep, hundreds of sheep, he tells them, no, you rest, I'll do this. I got this. They get impressed. They run. Ya abati. This is the Quran, right? Allah's quoting to you what these two girls said. Jariyatayn. Two young, you know, young women. They run to their father. Ya abati sta'jir. Dad, why don't you hire him? It's like, look, why don't you just give him a place to stay? How about one of us marry him? Alright? But they're polite. Ya abati istajir. You know, keep them around. Inna khayra man istajar al-qawi al-amin. Because the best one for you to hire, meaning to give us in marriage to, one of us in marriage to, is the one who's strong and the one who is trustworthy. Oh, strong, trustworthy. Now we know about the physical strength of Musa, right? Struck a man, killed him. He endured walking through a desert, came out unscathed by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a person who was polite, emotional, able to help, willing to assist. They didn't need to ask him, oh, can you help us with this? They knew later on in life he wasn't going to give them difficulty in fulfilling his needs as a proper husband. Qawi. The quwwa, that strength that is spoken about here, is the same that the Prophet ﷺ says. Al-mu'minu al-qawi ahabbu 'inda Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. The true, strong in faith, who has strength mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, who's stable, is better and more preferred to Allah than a weak believer. Not just weak in faith, but weak in physical strength, weak in emotional strength, weak in intellectual strength, weak in spiritual and financial strength. The one who's stronger in those actions, in those facets of life, is more loved and dearer to Allah. Wal-Amin, the trustworthy. The Prophet ﷺ, we're talking about marriage, right? Through the example of Musa. This is Musa's love story. Musa, how he got married. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in the authentic hadith, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَسَوْجُوهُ. If a man comes asking for someone in your family, your daughter, your sister, your mother in some cases, your aunt, whatever it may be, someone's come inquiring, and you're happy with دِينَهُ, his deen, وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوْجُوهُ, his deen and his character, then yes, permit him to marry from your family. You and I immediately we say, but isn't good character part of faith? Yes, but they're also separate in this one thing, in the thing that is related to lineage and marriage. So Musa's character shone through. He was a trustworthy person. He was a person of strength and honor. So he sits down with the father of these two girls, and the father negotiates. You know how there's a dowry? The brothers, you know, alhamdulillah, married. Some of you brothers, you gotta get ready. Because even Musa, he went through the ringer. The father says, أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيَّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي. I will give one of my daughters in marriage to you on the condition that you work for me for 10 years. 8 years, فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ عِنْدِكَ. 8 years is the bare minimum. But if you do 10 years, then you've shown us kindness. Wow, 10 years of service. Can't go anywhere. You know, he's using their sheep. He's there. Basically, he's there learning the family business. Not his family business, their family business. And Musa fulfills the 10 years. But in that time, his repentance is ongoing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come back to that central theme, tawbah. You know how I told you about that brother who came, that sahabi who came to the Prophet ﷺ, 2 rak'ah, you know, go on your way? You might think, oh, 2 rak'ah, go on your way, that's this, you know, some easy process. It's not. What's meant by tawbah is your clinging onto it. How long you persevere in your nearness to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ says to you and I, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَى. Every human being has a share of manifest errors. And the best of you is the one who turns to Allah in repentance. That sincere repentance that is long-lasting, that ability to remain with Allah day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you control yourself, you fight yourself. Al-jihad man jahada nafsa. The jihad is the one who struggles with himself, عَنْمَا نَهَاهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, to hold himself back from what Allah has forbidden. That urge where you're online and the MSN messenger thing comes up, oh, Sister Aisha, ooh, alright. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ahmed. Right? It's fitna. You'll see the brothers, and I don't mean to mock, right? I'm not talking about anyone here in Birmingham, alright? Back home in Curtin Uni, alright? The brothers that come out of Jum'ah, they're saints. You know? Assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, sister. You give that brother 5 minutes. He crosses that parking lot. Hey, Sally, how you doing? Oh yeah, wait up. He's off. Tawbah, you got to measure your nearness to Allah. You got to measure how close you are to your Lord by the time it takes for you to remain steadfast and how long before you break it. And then how long before you come back to Allah. And then how long before you break it. Time yourself. You got to time yourself. How long are you firm on faith? Mustaqim, straight. You know, not, you know, curving a little. Straight. So Musa, 10 years in tawbah, in servitude, in love with his wife, in love with his relationship to Allah, and then he sees the fire. And it says to him, Ya Musa, come. He hears the sound, he hears Allah. He hears Allah. Ikhla'n alayk, take off your shoes. Innaka bilwadi al-muqaddasi tuwa. You are in the valley that has been blessed near the right side, the Rukn al-Ayman, Fituwa, in the Sinai Peninsula. Inni ana rabbuk. I am your Lord. Fastami' lima yuha. Hear what I'm going to reveal to you. Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Moses, and these are the same words that Umar ibn al-Khattab heard that caused him to stop in his walk and turn to Allah. Inni ana rabbuk. Moses, I'm your Lord, your personal God, your ilah. Rabbuk, not rabbukum, rabbuk, your God. Although his wife is waiting down outside the mountain. Rabbuk, your God, personal. I'm here for you. I hear you, I see you, I protect you. La ilaha illa ana. You have no God to worship but me. فَعْبُدْنِي. So worship me. وَأَقْمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And turn in devotion and prayer in my remembrance often. Alright. What's next? اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ. Leave this cushy life you have and go to Fir'aun. إِنَّهُ طَغَى. That word in Arabic, it's a powerful word. Any word that has a shadda, any letter that has a shadda, the emphasis that is put, you know what shadda is, right? Shadda, strength. And that's another beautiful lesson in the Quran. You can't translate that strength. It's part of the oral tradition of the Quran. You can't translate, إِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. You can't read that طَامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى in any other way. طَامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى means the tremendous catastrophe of the Day of Judgment. And to say catastrophe and tremendous, you just elongate it and stress it. طَغَى. طَغَى in Arabic means exceeded his defined boundaries. What did Pharaoh do? He said to the people, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ إِلَهًا غَيْرِي. You have no God to worship but me. أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرٍ. Look, people of Egypt, don't you see everything in Egypt is mine? These rivers, they flow when I tell it to flow. Pharaoh, he used to say to them, if you don't give me your virgin young women to throw in the Nile, you're not going to have any water. So every year they bring them virgin. You know, it's like the Mayans and stuff. They would sacrifice their virgin, throw them in the Nile. And that continued all the way up to when Muslims entered Egypt. Until Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wrote a letter. And he told Amr ibn al-As, tell the Egyptian people that they're no longer going to throw anyone in the river. And tell them to throw this piece of paper. And the piece of paper said, Ya Nahra Misr, O Nile of Egypt, if you flow by the command of Allah, then keep flowing. If you flow by any other one's command, we don't want your water. The Nile flowed. Right? Tagha, he exceeded all bounds. The rivers are mine, your life is mine, everything you have is for me, for Pharaoh. Go to him. But what should you say? فَقُلْ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. But speak to him softly. لَعَلَّهُ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps, if you speak to him nicely and softly, maybe he'll ponder what you say and actually have some consciousness. Pharaoh, who I just described, who tells people, worship me, is going to have consciousness. Allah gives Musa that hope. He comes to Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejects. Musa finally, 9 ayat, 9 major signs brought down upon Egypt and Fir'aun until Pharaoh says, take your people and leave. Asri bi-qut'in min al-layl, run away in the middle of the night, Musa, with these people who have believed in me. Pharaoh corners them near the water. And Allah saves them as we've read in the Quran, for some of us, seen in the movie. They cross Fir'aun, which is not in the movie. Fir'aun, his soldiers, his whole administration is drowned. وَهُوَ مُلِيم, and the blame is on Pharaoh. Now what does Musa do? Could you imagine here, all of a sudden, you're in a dominant position. You've just killed the greatest tyrant known at that moment in civilization. You've killed him and his army and his ministers. And you've done it with the people that were worshipping him as their God, seeing that he's not God because he's just drowned. Did Musa go back and become governor of Egypt? Which is what you and I would do, right? I'd be the first one. Where's that milk and honey they're talking about? Where's that gold? Look, I killed your Pharaoh, man. I'm the new boss. I'm the man in charge. You worshipped him. I don't want you to worship me. Worship Allah. But I'm governing you. No. Musa wanders the desert 40 عَامًا يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, for 40 years. Without a nation, without a land, without shelter, open in the Sinai. That's a lesson. There is no shortcuts in life. There's no shortcuts in your spiritual development. You can't be a person who doesn't have true devotion to Allah, and then you start reading a book, or you come to a lecture, or oh, Brother Yahya said something, I'm going to start praying. And you start praying and you think that from that moment on, your whole life has changed. No, you have to persevere. You have to prove yourself to Allah. It's not just a name claim. You're not just claiming it. You have to show it. You have to act on it. You have to move with it. And Musa wanders. 40 عَامًا يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Those are pivotal messages from the life of Musa. That is a story that is narrated to us in the Quran to show you and I our nearness to Allah. Musa is a great prophet of Allah. And I'm going to conclude with this hadith because it's inspirational in other matters. Musa, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, as is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, an agreed upon hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, سَأَلَ مُوسَى بْنِ عِمْرَانَ رَبَّهُ. Moses asked his Lord, spoke to his Lord and requested, يَا رَبْ مَا أَدْنَى أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا. Our Lord, O Allah, what's the lowest level in paradise? You know, what's minimum wage? What's the economic crisis? Like in Jannah, what's the the poorest person in paradise? What does he get? So Allah answers Musa and he says to him, تكون لرجل يخرج من النار. It'll be for the last man to exit the fire. فإذا خرج من النار قال الحمد لله الذي نجاك مني لم يعط أحدا عطاء أفضل مني. The man is the last person to exit the fire. Hasn't seen Jannah, hasn't gone to paradise, doesn't know about anything about paradise. Just by him exiting the fire, he turns to Allah in dua and says, Alhamdulillah, who saved me from that fire. No one who has ever been born has been given anything greater than that. فَتُنْبَتُ لَهُ شَجَرًا. So Allah will plant a tree. So the man shall run to that tree, sit under the tree, and he shall think, that's it. I don't want anything else, man. I just left that fire. And then Allah will plant another tree that's a little bit larger, that has a stream. And the man shall see it. And Allah shall say to the man, Ya Abdi, what do you need? And the man will say, Oh Allah, I'm happy with what I've been given, but just, you know, can I go to that tree? It's got a river, it's got a little stream, and, you know, maybe I can do something with it. A little bit later, another tree, until the man is brought close to hear the sounds of paradise. فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبْ أُدْنُنِي مِنْهُمْ. My Lord, just let me be close to them. Not with them, close to them. So Allah shall bring him to the gates of Jannah, as the Prophet ﷺ says. وَيُهَيِّئُ لَهُ أَنَّهَا مَلْأَةٌ. But when the man looks in, it will be shown to him that it's completely full, no vacancy. And then Allah shall say to this abd, to this humble servant, يَا عَبْدِي أَتَرْضَى أَن يَكُونَ لَكَ مُلْكُ مَلِكٍ مِّن مُلُوكِ الدُّنْيَا. My servant, would it suffice you if I gave you the dominion and the kingdom that one of the kings of your worldly life enjoyed? Would you be happy if I gave you, you know, the kingdom of a king from the world that you used to live upon? The man shall say, man, Buckingham Palace? I'll take that. King. So Allah shall say, لَكَ هَذَا. I grant you that. وَمِثْلَهُ 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 وَمِثْلَهُ. You're given that over and over and over and over again. And on the fifth one, that person, that servant shall say to Allah, اِكْتَفَيْتْ يَا رَبْ. That's enough. So Allah shall say to him, لَكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكْ وَعَشْرُ أَمْثَالِ. I give you those five and 10 times their amount. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, وَلَكَ مَا and to you would be what will please you. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To you will be what will please you. وَلَكَ مَا اشْتَهَتْ نَفْسُكَ. And to you will be what you wish for. And the man shall be pleased. So Musa, hearing this from Allah, he then asks, Ya Rabb, فَمَا بَالُ أَعْلَاهَا. Oh Allah, if that's minimum wage, I'm a prophet. What about, you know, like, what about the higher up in Jannah? So Allah says, لَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْهُمْ يَا مُوسَى. Don't ask about them. فَلَمْ تَرَى عَيْنٌ وَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ أُذُنٌ وَلَمْ يَخْطُرْ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human being could ever comprehend it. This is an abridged narration of the life and times of Musa with pertinent lessons for us. Fate and qadr. There is a greater power and authority ruling and governing and influencing your life. Allah gives you choices. Allah pushes you in directions. Allah gives you intuition. Allah helps you with your decisions. The closer you come to Him, the closer He will be with you. The more powerful His effect will be in your life. Repentance, doesn't matter how great your harm upon others, your ability to change the negative things in your life is within your hands. It's your choice, just like Musa stopped. At that moment, he's about to harm that second person. He stops. He recognizes his error. He moves back, turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cleanliness of spirit and heart shines through to others. You want to have a good spouse, you want to have a good husband, you want to have a good wife, you want to have nice kids who will be obedient, who will take care of you in your older years. I know you're sitting here 20 years old, but you'll get old. You want to have an easy, cushy life? Let your character shine. Let people see you the way those two women saw Musa. The moment they saw him, they ran to their father. They saw his character. They saw who he was, not his faith. And that's why the Prophet separated deen and khuluq. Your character is powerful. And there's no easy way. You can't just fake it. I'm tired of people faking it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hypocrisy. May Allah protect us from just wanting people to think of us as devout. The Prophet says, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمَ الشِّرْكَ الْخَفِيِّ. The thing I hate and fear for you the most is shirk, joining others in the worship of Allah in a hidden manner. They said, how? أَنْ يَقُومَ الرَّجُلْ فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِنْ نَظَرِ الرَّجُلِ إِلَيْهِ. Its example is that a man stands up to pray, but notices someone's looking at him, so he makes sure he's really, you know, like, mashallah. That's the example the Prophet says is the worst thing, the most feared thing he has for our ummah. People who walk amongst us, who talk like us, who dress like us, who grow the beards, who wear the short pants, who do everything that is outward, but forget the inward. Forget that spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that spiritual touch that we have to come back to our Lord, to our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't fake it. It takes time to develop. It takes effort. And finally, the adversity that you face and the hardships that you face in life have a great reward for you, and it is Jannah. It is that abode that Musa asks Allah about. Don't feel shy to ask Allah. The Prophet of Allah, Musa, asked Allah, what's in Jannah? How do I get it? What can I do to make myself near it? Come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come to the way of Islam. Come to the path of faith. Now, just 2 points before I conclude. I know my time is up. With regards to sisters and education. Really important. And inshallah, I'll email our elder and brother, Sheikh Abdul Wahid, about my thoughts. But with regards to education, I'm just going to give you a personal example. So I'm not going to talk about it from a religious perspective. Alhamdulillah, my wife, she's by training qualified accountant. We have 2 children, both under the age of 2.5. She's studying part-time law at the University of Western Australia. I drive her to her lectures, not because she can't drive, but because I babysit the kids in the car for the hour and a half that she's in lecture. Alright? So this is the sacrifice that I as a Muslim man make for the higher education of my wife. Not because I don't earn an income. Alhamdulillah, Allah provides. Right? Not for her because she's going to be, you know, some hotshot lawyer. But it's to enlighten the mind. It's to enlighten the spirit. It's to search and have knowledge of what is happening with us, amongst us, in our community. It's to be advocates. It's to have insight into the workings of the world. So I sit there, I take the kids to the park for the hour and a half. She has her lecture, then her tutorial. Sometimes she misses the tutorial because the kids, you know, are running around. And it's hot and there's, you know, so give her a call, hurry up. And then we go. 3 times a week, right? Islamic forms of education. Nothing in Islam ever prohibits a person from learning. Islam for a person, man or woman. But don't lose yourself. Don't come to university with your aim, oh, Abi, Dad, I need to stay a little bit back at, you know, a little bit after classes because I need to do studies. But you know, you're faking it. You know that the reason you're staying behind a little bit, whether you're a man or woman, isn't because of your studies. It's, you know, to mingle, to, you know, I'm just going to chill out. Too much stress at home. I'll wait till the dishes are done, then I'll go. You know what I mean? Be careful of that. Second thing, inshallah, is Islam is a faith that is a practical, in practice. It's not words, right? Nothing the Prophet ﷺ ever said was left without practice, right? The Quran is to be used in practice. So I want you, inshallah, from the messages that you receive in these sessions or the lectures you hear on the net or whatever it is you do in your pursuit of knowledge, practice it. Even if it is little in amount. If you learn something, if you've heard something, practice it and teach it to others. And be from those who are inviting in your manner and in your conduct to those who are Muslim and to those who are not Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ was sent rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to all of humanity, to everyone. People would throw rubbish in his face every day as he'd walk in the street. They'd grab rubbish, and as he walked by their house, they'd throw it in his face. They'd get sick. They wouldn't come out to greet him with throwing rubbish in his face. They'd get sick at home. One day, 2 days, the third day, he'd knock on their door. Are you guys okay? Can I get you something? Oh, how did you know we're sick? My son, who lives just across the road, doesn't know I'm sick. How did you know I'm sick? He says, well, every day you throw garbage at me, but for the last 2 days you haven't. So I thought I'd come and check on you. That's your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us be his example in his conduct and in his modality. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth for what it is so that we follow it, to show us evil for what it is so that we will be distant from it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join us again in this worldly life in his obedience, or if we don't meet again, to join us in Jannatul Ma'wa with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.